Turn with me, if you would, now to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Second Chronicles, chapter 3. I have something that I pray the Lord will bless. I pray He will meet with us tonight. That's what I'm asking for. That's what I have been asking for all day. Pray that He will speak to us tonight. I pray that He will let us enter into something that will bring great comfort to us and great help to us. We're going to look at the moment when the children of Israel left the tabernacle and moved into the temple. I want us to see two things in this. Number one, I want us to see a picture of Christ. We're going to look at this moment, and I want us to see a picture of Christ in this. And then I want us to see and enter into a prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, a picture of Christ and a cry to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we're going to begin. The children of Israel had been worshiping God in a tabernacle, which was a badger skin tent. That's what it was. And our Lord ordained it that way so that it could be moved. They were in the wilderness, started in the wilderness, 1 year exactly, the first day of the next year. The Lord told Moses to start constructing this tabernacle. And it was built so that it could be moved as the Lord moved them. There was a cloud that stood over the tabernacle by day, and there was a pillar of fire that stood over it by night. And when the cloud or the fire moved, when it was gone, as long as the cloud was there and the fire was there, they stayed there. But when it was gone, they moved. They worshiped our Lord in that way. If my calculations are right, they worshiped our Lord like that for 486 years. The time came, though, that God commanded Solomon to build a temple. It was a big, beautifully ornate structure. The Holy of Holies was overlaid in pure gold. It was calculated that it was 34 tons of gold used on this building. Just the finest materials that could be put into it. Beautifully ornate, permanent structure for His people to worship Him in. And do you know where Solomon built that temple? I'm going to tell you that I did not. When I saw this in studying this, it just rejoiced my heart. The natural response is in Jerusalem. Yes, that's correct. But do you know exactly where in Jerusalem Solomon built the temple? Look with me, if you would, right here at 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1. It says, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah." Do you know what happened on Mount Moriah? That's where God told Abraham to take his son, his only son Isaac, and offer him there as a burnt sacrifice for the sin of the people. And as they were going up to the top of Mount Moriah, Isaac said, "Father, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where is the lamb? Where is our sacrifice? Where is our appeasement to God?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And how glorious that announcement is. God will provide himself a lamb. That is just beautiful. That is wonderful. God will provide a lamb for himself. God will provide a sacrifice and an appeasement for himself. And God will provide himself to be the sacrifice and the appeasement. God will provide himself a lamb. And Isaac learned what that meant through the experience of receiving a substitute. Isaac was a picture of Christ. He is a picture of Christ. But Isaac was also a man who received a substitute in his moment of judgment. Can you imagine the joy and the thankfulness that came over him? There was a ram caught in the thicket. And I used to have it in my mind that Abraham untied Isaac and put the ram on there. I don't believe that at all. I believe that ram was laid right on top of Isaac. And that blood ran all over Isaac. I believe Isaac was crucified with that ram. Nevertheless, Isaac lived. But that's a picture of the substitution of Christ for his people. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was literally the very spot that Abraham built that altar that God told Solomon, build the temple right there. That's the place where my people are going to worship me. So Solomon built the temple. It took them 7 years. And if you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God." He brought everything into the temple that needed to be there for them to worship. They brought all of the things from their old building into their new building that they needed to conduct worship. They all got together and brought it over. And then once it was there, Solomon gathered all the people to the temple and he prayed a prayer to the Lord. This is the picture of Christ that I want us to see tonight. Solomon is a picture of Christ making intercession to God on behalf of the people. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, daily makes intercession to God for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. So Solomon is a type of Christ, and this temple is a type of Christ. This is also a picture of Christ. They both are. Everything that was needed to satisfy and appease God was in that temple. Inside that temple, okay, in the temple was the altar. In that temple was the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Promise. In that temple was the mercy seat where the blood was poured. The bread, the water, the light, that temple was a picture of Christ, type of Christ. So let's read this prayer. Solomon prayed this prayer. We're going to read most of it. We're going to skim through it a little bit. Beginning, it's chapter 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Look with me at verse 12. It says, "Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands, For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high. It was roughly 8 by 8 by about 5 feet tall. And he set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. He started by saying, there is no God like you. You're the only God that there is. You're the God who made a covenant of mercy, and you keep it. You're the God who keeps it. Look down at verse 19. He said, have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. He said, for the sake of your people, look to this place. Look to this house. Keep your holy, just eye on this place. Again, this temple is a picture of Christ. Look right here. The place where the altar is. The place where the mercy seat is. The place where the sacrifice is. The place where you've chosen to put your name there, saying all the fullness of God is right there. And that's Christ. It's a picture of Christ. A building is just a building. This building is just a building. It's such a nice building. But God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. You know, that was a special building to me. I lived my life in that building for 10 years. But God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. God dwells in Christ. And God dwells in his people because of Christ. But he's saying here, would you please, holy and just God, would you just please keep your eye on Christ for the mercy sake of my people? Don't look at them. Look at Christ. Just look to this place. Look to the intercessor. Look to the appeasement. Verse 21, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 21. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven. And when thou hearest, forgive. That was his plea. When you hear, forgive them. Please forgive them. That's the intercession that Christ makes on behalf of his people. 5 bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him. Oh, forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die. Verse 22 says, if a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. What he's saying is, would you judge in righteousness? Would you forgive in righteousness, according to righteousness? That's what took place on the cross of Calvary. When Christ took the sin of his people on himself and fully traded places with them, the guilty one was judged, and the innocent were set free. It was all done in righteousness and holiness and justice. Verse 24 says, and if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, if they lose in war, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there's no rain because they've sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, if they do it in this house, if they cry out to you in him. Verse 30, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Hear them for Christ's sake. Forgive them for Christ's sake. Verse 32, moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, and as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. Christ can say that. I built this house. I built this place of mercy. I built this place of sacrifice. Verse 34, if thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there's no man which sinneth not, all have sinned, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves, it means if they come back to their mind and come back to their heart in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart, with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I've built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. He said, now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. He closed his prayer in those last two verses by saying, clothed with salvation, send rejoicing in your goodness, turn not away and remember your mercy. Now, clearly, Solomon is a picture of Christ. Clearly. But here's the thing I hope the Lord will make clear. Solomon is also just a man like you and me. Solomon is begging and pleading and praying, and so do we. Solomon does not just assume on the Lord that God's going to do whatever he asks him to do. Lord, would you do this? He's begging and he's pleading. He is a man just like us. Those priests right there that were all gathered before him, those priests who ministered in the tabernacle all those years, there were priests upon priests upon priests. All of those people, those chosen people that were gathered there, they were all just like us. Those preachers were just like us. And those people were just like us. And they were pleading for mercy. Solomon was pleading for mercy and for a blessing on those people. He was pleading that on their behalf. And I plead that on your behalf. I don't have the ability to cause God to do anything that I say. But I plead it to him on your behalf. And those people were there with Solomon, pleading this to God on their own behalf, in their own hearts. But they were just like us. They were men and women just like us. They had the same thoughts. They had the same fears. They had the same needs, the same desires, the same concerns. And what Solomon was doing right here was begging God, would you please do for us in this place? He kept saying, this house. Would you please do for us in this house what you did for us in that house? This place. That temple was a type of Christ. We just saw that. Whatever they do in this place, whatever is done in Christ. Our Lord said, you ask anything in my name, the Father will hear you. That temple was a type of Christ. But that temple was the actual place where God's people met together to worship him. Do you think that those people had a special affection for that badger skin tent? I do. I really do. Those people had a place that they gathered to worship God, and now God has moved them. They didn't move until God moved them. We didn't move until God moved us. I thought we would have moved 2 years ago. I thought we would have moved 2 years and 3 months ago. But God didn't move us that. He didn't move us that long ago. And now the Lord has moved them into a new place. This is a type of Christ, yes, but this is really a place where they are now going to begin coming to and gathering in to worship God. For 486 years, they had a place. And this is what they wanted to know. This is really what they needed to know. You know, God told them, he told Moses, you tell my people, I will meet with them right there. You build a mercy seat, you put it inside that tent, and you tell my people, I'll meet with them right there. Well, this is what they needed to know. This is what they're asking. Will you meet with us in this place like you met with us in that place? Will we be able to still worship you in this place like we were able to worship you in that place? Lord, we worshiped you. We worshiped you. Are we going to be able to worship in this place like we worshiped in that place. Our Lord has promised that wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He's in the midst of them. He has promised that if He points us to Him, if He reveals Him to us as our only salvation, and if He reveals to us that we belong to Him, we're sinners and He came for sinners and we belong to Him. He has promised that if He reveals that to us, He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Like Manoah's wife said, if the Lord was going to kill us, He would never have revealed all these things to us. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We know that, don't we? We believe that. I believe that. I really believe that. But I have to be honest with you. There were times in that little bitty tent over there on Yadkin Street, whether it was in my study or whether it was in a service, that the Lord, I believe He just flooded my soul with such a blessing of His grace and such a blessing of His mercy. I don't mean to be silly, but I mean, I felt this little, like David said, my cup's running over. This little building's not going to be able to contain it. Lord, would You do that in this place? We're not able to bless ourselves. We're not able to impart the Word. He's going to have to do it. He has to do it. Every time I stand up here, I want to be a blessing to the Lord's people. I don't have the ability to do that. If I did, you would be so blessed every time you come. Lord, would You please do that in this place? Would You please make Your presence known in this place like You did in that place? I can enter in so deeply right now. Right now. I can enter in so deeply to what Solomon and those priests and those people were feeling in that moment and begging for at that moment. The Lord was moving them. That cloud and that fire was gone from the other place. That's how they knew to go. That cloud and that fire was gone. The Lord said, it's time. Move. And they were begging, Lord, would You please let Your presence be known in this place? Even though our Lord does not make His presence known to us visually, He did it visually. And even though He doesn't do that anymore, He doesn't do it by a cloud, He doesn't do it by fire, but I will tell you this, He does make His presence known in these hearts. Like the two on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us? By the way, Lord, would You please talk to us? Really. Lord, would You please speak to us in the way that You speak to Your people? Would You talk to us through Your Word? Would You talk to us by Your Spirit? Would You let Your presence be known right here inside these hearts? We're not here for a pretty building. We're here to worship You. I'm asking that. We ask that, don't we? This is not just an outline. Tonight's message, I pray it's a message. I pray I have a message. But the last thing I wanted tonight to be was an outline. This is not an outline. I'm actually asking this. Lord, would You please, this is a sincere cry to our Savior and our Redeemer. Lord, would You please make Your presence known to us in our hearts? We're drawing nigh to You. Would You draw nigh to us? Please, would You be with us? Would You meet with us? Would You speak to us? Would You talk to us? Would You let Your presence be known? Well, Solomon prayed this prayer, made his request on his own behalf. He prayed it on the priest's behalf. He prayed it on the people's behalf. I pray that, honestly, Solomon prayed it on our behalf, all of God's people's behalf. He said, Lord, would you please do this for us? And I want to ask everybody here, let's ask this with him. Lord, would you please do this for us? If you are willing, would you, we humbly request, would you arise? That's what he asked for. Would you arise because of your covenant, because of your promise? Would you arise and would you let us know our covering of salvation? And would you let us in this place, right here, inside these hearts, would you let us rejoice in your goodness? And would you turn not away from us? Please don't turn away from us, and don't turn us away from you. And would you remember your mercy toward us? After Solomon made that request, he said all that he had to say, and he just stopped praying. And I can picture that moment when he was done. And you know that moment when a man stops praying and it's silence. The people are listening and everyone's hearing and they stop praying and they open their eyes. And chapter 7, verse 1 says, Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And that's what I want right here. I want the glory of the Lord, not unto us, not unto us, O Lord. I want your glory to fill this house. Verse 2 says, The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The Lord said, I'm still with you. And that's what I pray he'll say to us. I pray that he'll say that to us from this point on. I'm still with you. He said, I'm still with you. And they cried, thank God he's still with us. We don't want to go anywhere where the Lord's not there, do we? Nowhere. And anywhere that our Lord is, that's the only place we want to be. If our Lord has chosen to put his name here, I want to be right here. Anywhere that he is, that's our house. That's our home. Lord, would you please let that be the case in this house? Speak, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Thy servants here. We're waiting to hear from you. We're gathered here to hear from you. Speak to us by your Spirit, through your Word, and let our hearts burn within us. Overrule these cold, dead hearts and let them burn. Lord, send the fire of your Spirit. If you would, we would be so grateful. We'd be so grateful. Let's all ask the Lord to be with us in this place. Let's beg him, if he lets his presence be known to us and his glory fills this house, we will be so grateful. All right. Pray the Lord will bless that. Let's all stand together.